Hi there, and welcome to this, the 35th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And tonight...
Yes, tonight, because it's been a long day.
It's been a long day. If you're listening to this at like 3 in the morning, well, it is tonight. It is tonight.
And it hasn't been a long day in a bad way. It's just been a very...
Well, that's what you get when you wake up at like 5:45 in the morning, dude.
Well, and that's being an adult, Daniel.
I don't like adulting anymore, Jennifer.
Well, kind of beats the alternative, so...
This is true. But anyway... We are going to talk all about advocacy. I think just in the sense that this is where you can take a stand for yourself and speak for yourself and your best interests. And so this is all about advocacy, and this is going to be very slanted towards working with and talking to your government officials.
And it's very important to both Dan and me. It's important to me, yes, because we like to get our voice out there. And obviously, we talk about our multiple sclerosis so we can share the experience and meet others who are living with the disease or have family members dealing with it. And we have found over the course of our 20 plus years living with MS that it's really empowering to get your voice out to legislators, whether it be in your state government or in the federal government. So.
Or in the local government, I mean, because you have elected officials here.
Good point.
And I think this is where it really becomes a real thing, in that this is your opportunity. And I mean, as far as everybody out there listening, how much do you advocate for yourself? And we can talk. I mean, obviously, you can do that at home when you're advocating for yourself. What do you want for dinner? What do you want for breakfast? I mean, just in terms of like ways that you speak for what you want. And when it comes to advocating in the government, it becomes more so not what you want so much as what you need and what has to happen to make your life better. And what's empowering about doing it when you're talking to government officials is realizing it goes beyond you and your needs, and knowing that what you're speaking up for is helping so many other people.
As we've often said, there are nearly 1 million Americans living with multiple sclerosis. So when we talk to our legislators about our lives with MS, we know that we're helping so many people, because so many of us are dealing with similar experiences. And it's a point that I asked Dan. I said, why did it take us so long to get involved with our government? Why did we have to get diagnosed with a chronic illness before we realized that there's power in our voice? But I'm glad that it did take us a while, but we did realize it. That's why we encourage you all out there listening to get motivated, to get active, reach out. Your voice has power.
And that's what we will do. We will include in the liner notes, in the show notes for this, a link and information for where and how you can get involved in being an MS activist. And we're being very specific in terms of talking, in terms of multiple sclerosis advocacy, in terms of how do we help ourselves and how can you help yourself and other people living with the disease by getting involved as an MS activist. One thing that I realized, it was interesting, I didn't talk to you about this, Jennifer, and so Let me bring it up to you right here on the air. It was one of the icebreaker questions of sorts that my boss brought to me, and it was just last week. What was your favorite class in high school? What was your least favorite class? And I sidestepped the response to that question, because my point was, there's one class I wish I would have paid more attention to in high school, so I would have been even more well-educated and smart going into everything in advocacy. I wish I would have paid more attention to U.S. government.
I'm with you. Because when you're 15, when you're 17, you don't realize how important that government is. And all you worry about is your day-to-day life, and you don't realize the power that those people way off in the capital somewhere, they have in your life. So I'm with you, Dan. I think I don't even really know if I took much of a government class in high school.
I filled space. It's just like I went to class, I attended, and you know, I was...
You were just a warm body.
I was a warm body, and I was just striving to get a C because average was good when I was in high school. And
then C's get degrees.
Exactly. And so, but I do wish I would have paid more attention. But, you know, fortunately, through the work and being an activist and advocacy, you learn more, you know more about government and how it works. And that's the one thing I don't want people to ever think it's too heady or too cerebral or it goes beyond what you can fathom and conceptualize. It's like to become an activist, to become an advocate, to become active in this role in the MS world, it's empowering because really you don't need to know a ton about government so much as just know how to share your story.
And know that and realize that there's power in that. And so that's how we got involved. You know, we shared our story and that's how we met each other. And that's how we've continued rolling for the past 17 years almost, where we just share our story. And as you said, Dan, there's power in that. And we've had some amazing opportunities and we've had we've met so many incredible people and done a lot. And so we encourage everyone to get involved, even if it's just writing a letter to the editor or sending an action alert. Once you start, it snowballs and you really want to get involved and do more. And that's why yesterday and today and Thursday of this week, we will just continue working on advocacy, because right now is a pretty crucial time in the, it's August recess visits when legislators are home from the Capitol and they're, you know, supposed to be meeting with constituents, although it's a pretty crazy political time right now. But we had opportunities to meet with our legislators and share some of the issues going on in our multiple sclerosis world.
And I think that's the big thing when you're talking, as we're encouraging others to get involved as MS activists, MS advocates, it's, you don't need to be a government genius and know all the issues. That's the beauty of the National MS Society and its advocacy programs. They're the ones doing the groundwork and doing the research and finding what are the main issues happening at the Capitol and in the federal government and state government in terms of like what issues are we bringing to people. And that was the encouraging thing today. We had just met with a virtual meeting, but with Amy Brown, is one of the top legislative aides for our U.S. Senator, Debbie Stabenow, just where we're talking. And this was the big issue for what we're talking about this year, is to increase funding for the multiple sclerosis research program for fiscal year 2023. And what can you tell us about that, Jennifer?
It's a $2 million ask, more than we had last year. And this funding goes to help, I don't want to say aggressive, that's not the word, but it is for cases that need research. The MS Research Program, the MSRP, is the only federal funding stream specifically for multiple sclerosis research. The MSRP funds high-impact, high-risk research based on input from people with MS. And Congress established the MSRP in fiscal year 2009, and to date, the MSRP has funded $93.1 million in MS research. And that research, I mean, Dan, you and I were diagnosed more than 20 years ago, and you think about the medication we took to treat our disease and just how leaps and bounds we're on better therapies now. And the MSRP is looking at this high reward funding and research to try and help those of us living with MS.
And that's really huge. And I think that's where it had the benefit of having very supportive senators with the MS research on this, that it's just, and really this ask is for $2 million over what was approved last year. And this, and we say, $2 million isn't that much. But I mean, in terms of all the millions at the government, I mean, this is a drop in the bucket, but it helps so much. And I mean, and really every penny counts in terms of research to improve our lives. And as you said, how far research has gone just in the time that we've been diagnosed with MS. And that's where it's very empowering when you have a relationship with your elected officials, with their staff members, to where you can reach out and just talk about this, using it through your stories, and show them the benefits of what they're doing and the people who are benefiting from it.
And I always think it's worth stating that you and I, or those of us living with MS, aren't just sitting idly by waiting for other people to cure this disease. Our walk team fundraises every year and has since we met each other. And the society, the National MS Society, is a strategic partner with the federal government. So they are working on research as well. The MS Society to date has funded over $1.06 billion in MS research. So when I come knocking on your door, not that we do that anymore, but when I send emails asking for money, or when Dan and I have fundraisers, we're doing this because we know that the society is putting the money that we raise to good use. I mean, over $1 billion in MS research has happened through the MS Society. That's pretty darn powerful.
That's incredibly powerful. And that's where we, in terms of the advocacy and stuff, you're doing your part. It's like you say, we're not sitting idly back, because it's like, if people want to improve their situation, what can you do personally to improve your situation? And I think it's, you have your story, and that's the one thing that you bring to the table that nobody else can. And everyone has their own story. I mean, here we are talking about our story. And when you say there's nearly a million people in the United States living with the disease, how many stories? That's like how many millions of stories that need to be shared, need to be told to make an impact. Because what if you, out there in listener land, your story is the one thing that will push a stubborn senator or a reluctant representative.
Very nice alliterative. You like that? That was totally good. You are a word nerd.
I am.
Love that.
But to where it's like your story can make the difference. And it's like, if not you, who? And so this is why we do what we do. So then let me ask you this, come on, Jennifer. Did you ever think that you would be this involved? I mean, truth be told, you are the chair of the Government Relations Advisory Committee here in Michigan. Did you ever think, as a young student at Swartz Creek High School and an aspiring student at the University of Michigan Flint, that in 2022 you would be finishing up a meeting with the aide for one senator, and in 2 days having another meeting with another staff member for your other government, your U.S. senator?
That is kind of heady, isn't it?
That's why I said that's loaded question. But for real, I mean, did you ever think this is what you would be doing?
No, but I didn't think I'd have multiple sclerosis either. So, I mean, I got a kick in the teeth with the multiple sclerosis, and I said, okay, take that. Look what I can do. I will talk to you until you will give us money to cure the disease just to shut us up.
What does this do for you? I mean, you met with Amy Brown today, and we send our thank yous. What does that do for you then? I mean, how rewarding is that?
I know not everyone can do what we can do. And that's, I mean, they may not have the technology, they may not have the interest, the time, or the ability to get their thoughts together, to write and to advocate. So I think it's pretty amazing, and it's fun. And it makes you feel powerful in a disease that tries its darndest.
it's out there.
It's out there. It tries its best to make you feel that it owns you, and you're like, no, I still have some tools. And so I think that's it for me. But what about you, little Monticello writer boy? Did you ever imagine this is where your life would end up?
No, but like you, I didn't expect I'd get multiple sclerosis. Yeah. You know, it's like I always wanted to be a speaker. I always wanted to speak, but never did I think it would be to talk to my congressional representatives and people in the government. Because, you know, I was the little Monticello boy that was nervous going door to door selling candy bars for the Cub Scout. Yet here I am, you know, just straight up talking to legislators, going to government officials.
And forever, I will tell this story. And just in one of the most mind-blowing, in a good way, experiences I ever had was when Senator Debbie Stabenow saw you, and she walked up and she gave you a great big hug, and she said, thank you for sharing your story with me, because you, Dan, had written to her about how expensive your disease-modifying therapy, the treatment for your multiple sclerosis, was, and how she used that story to fuel her fire to work on legislation to get prescription drug prices addressed and taken care of. And, you know, so I think that, you know, that's something you should be incredibly proud of, that your state senator knew who you were and hugged you and thanked you. And that was pretty wow.
That was special, I think, just to where, because they meet and they know and see so many people, but that she remembered from when we met with her when she was here in Mount Pleasant. And that's just where we continue to reach out and make your name, your story, your voice heard. Because people they hear so many different stats and numbers, but they're going to remember the stories that you share. And so that was important. That was powerful. And that's where we really are encouraging everyone else to at least take a look and consider getting involved as an MS activist, advocate, to do this and be empowered to make a difference for yourself and for others.
And that was a pretty joyful moment. And now talking about that, I'm going to go ahead and ask you, Mr. Dan Digman, do you have a moment of joy in this past week?
I do. My moment of joy came when we were over a couple weekends ago. It was like a week and a half ago.
Okay.
We were in Midland because we went to the Loons game when my sister and her family were out, and we were here. We went to the game on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. And my moment of joy is just where, you know as well as I do, I was just thinking it's so hot. And I realized the stadium was only like two blocks away, but I just like was freaking out. If I'm going to walk there and my legs and everything are tired already, what happens if I walk to the stadium and I'm still going to have the energy and sitting out in the hot sun and have the energy should I need help you transfer in the bathroom? And we were going to drive two blocks to the stadium, thereby then nullifying the fact that we were staying in a hotel two blocks away. And just the moment where it's just like, no, we got this. And just to where you just do, you take the chance. And that was my moment of joy. Just like that, you know, A, that the walk was not a problem. And it shouldn't have been. But I mean, you just, and I think that's the bigger thing, is just not letting the disease overtake my head and convince me otherwise. And so just that moment of joy, overcoming that, and being able to do exactly what we wanted to do and not letting the disease get the best of me in that moment.
That's pretty dang. That's pretty powerful. And I'm glad that I got to be there with you. And I had no doubts when you said no, Jen. I think, well, you would say no, Jennifer, because you are good about calling me Jennifer. You really know, Jennifer, I think I've got this. And we walked over to the ballpark and I had no questions. I trusted you. And if you couldn't, that wouldn't be a sign of weakness or failure, but it would have been more, I think, would have been just, you were so strong. And I just thought, I'm going to totally celebrate this. And yeah, that was a good moment. And
thank you. Well, and I think that just ties in then to like the whole caregiving thing, and you know, we're going on a tangent of sorts, but I mean, just as caregivers in a caregiving relationship, I knew what could happen if it went terribly wrong. Mm-hmm. And but I had the confidence, and that we have that trust, that you knew if I said I could do it, you knew that you could trust me, and we would be fine. And so thank you for giving me that latitude. It's like dashboard confessional here in the couple takes on MS.
That's a good moment of joy.
So thank you, but what about yours?
It's so silly. You and I, we decided to not have children when we got married. And that had nothing to do with MS. That had everything to do with you and me, Dan. And we just decided kids weren't in our future. And so this weekend, the weekend that you were talking about, our niece was here, and Elizabeth is pretty awesome. And I got to spend the day with her, and we made a jewelry box. And that was the most incredible fun, just to let the creativity of a young lady, Elizabeth is 10, just to let her go nuts with the jewelry box that we bought at a craft store, and some paint and some stickers, and just let her go to town and see what she came up with. And so I think that pure moment of, that's what it would be like to have a kid. Holy cats. That's exhausting. Love her as I do. But it was just really fun to just sit and just have conversation. And that was really fun for me. So thank you,
Don. It was fun watching the two of you. Yeah.
Thank you, Don and Mike, for letting me have like your daughter for a little afternoon craft making. And thanks, Dan, for liking. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
So that was our moment of joy. And I would be remiss if I didn't say on this 35th episode, just, we need a moment to remember Olivia Newton-John. I, you know, Xanadu was like one of my favorite movies, is one of my favorite movies. And she passed away
yesterday.
And so just like, if you listen to some ONJ, just remember the good times. So sorry,
you had the moment.
I had the moment. So, and we miss you, Ryan. You're not here today, but when we get a chance, we'll be together and we'll record all of us together soon.
I was going to say, very soon, very soon. So no, this is good. But thank you all for joining us again for this conversation all about advocacy, just to where, you know, encouraging you to get involved and to consider doing this and advocating for yourself and doing to help your cause, but to help the cause of so many others living with this disease. So until next time, We are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman.
I'm Jennifer Digman.
I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Take care. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
Be sure to subscribe today and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about.
And if you have something to contribute to the episode, questions, comments, concerns, you can email me, Ryan. The producer is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.